We get ready to bring in 2019, and I hope you are as excited about it as I am. I am really looking forward to what God has in store for us over the next year, just based on what I have seen and how the Lord has blessed just in the last few months alone. I'm just excited about it, and I hope that you are too. This morning, we're going to be talking about, as we transition from 2018 into 2019, talking about this morning something that I feel is important for us to think about and focus on as we move into the new year. This theme and this idea of unity. I can promise you this, as a church, if we will make up our minds that we will be unified with one purpose and one heart and one mind, God is going to have great things in store for us. Amen? And God is going to do mighty things. The book of Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 33, and also in the book of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. Sharing a couple verses with you here that I feel are important. Stand with me, please, as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Here in Acts chapter 4, the day of Pentecost has come and passed, and God is doing great and mighty things in the work of the early church. And here, two men of God, Peter and John, as they move forward in their work and their ministry for the Lord, they're questioned about what they're doing. They're questioned about whose gospel they're preaching. And they hit a little bit of a bump in the road, but here we see through these verses the good things that God was doing because of the unity of the people. The book of Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 33, it says it this way. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Now, John's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 20 through 23, says it this way. These are the words of Christ. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, and I are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come here, to be here in your house. Lord, Father, I pray that you bless this service today, Lord, as we close out yet another year and we prepare for a new one. Lord, I pray that you bless our church mightily. Lord, you've done so much in the life of your people here in just the last few months. Lord, I see so much excitement in the hearts of your people, Lord, and there's excitement in my heart. And Lord, I pray that as we move into this next year, that excitement would grow, that we would remain steadfast in our dedication. And Lord, I pray that we as a church body would be unified for one great purpose, for one great cause, the purpose for which you have placed us here in this community to send forth. Lord, Father, I just ask that today you use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray that you but preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world. Lord, I pray that you speak to the hearts of the people today. Lord, if there's somebody here who's never known you in the free pardon of sin, Lord, I pray that today they would come and accept you and know you as Lord and Savior before it's everlasting too late. Lord, maybe there's Christian hearts here among us, Lord, who just need a rededication. Lord, maybe those who have strayed away. Lord, those who need a rekindling. Lord, those who need to center back in on their purpose that you have instilled within them. Lord, Father, I just pray that the Spirit lead, guide, and direct. Lord, it's all this we ask in your holy, precious name. Amen. Moving forward with unity. I feel like that if we're going to survive in the next year, if we're going to grow as a church and continue to multiply as God would have us to multiply, it's going to require us to move forward with unity. Here in two examples of the Scripture. We see in the life of Peter and John as they're moving forward in their ministry for the Lord, as they're preaching the gospel and seeing souls saved, we see that the heart's desire of the church in that early period was that they were unified. They came together as one body of believers. We see Christ in John 17, the words that we read of His there. Christ, in the end of His life, nearing the end of His ministry, He took the opportunity to pray for the church. He took an opportunity to pray for His disciples because He knew that in the midst of His death, His disciples would be scattered. And it was His heart's desire that the disciples would have unity as they went about the work of the Lord, as they went about laying out the foundation of the New Testament church. So there in John 17, He prayed an earnest prayer that the Lord would unite them, that they would come together to fulfill His great and His mighty purpose. I know and believe with all of my heart that God has a great purpose in store for our church. I know that God is going to do good things, but it's going to require us to come together with one heart, one mind, and one purpose. The first thing that I want you to see about the verses that we've read here is this, is in the early church, they had unity amongst God's people. It says there in verse 32, it says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul. And no one said to any of the other things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common." The full member of the church, everyone who believed, everyone who proclaimed Christ, it says that they had one heart and one soul. It says that they believed in common. Now, when was the last time that we as God's people, not just talking about here at Buena Vista, but all of God's people, the full member, the full measure, when was the last time that we were really united together in unity? I don't know the answer to that. Maybe that's something for you to ponder about. Maybe that's something for you to think on. But even more so than thinking of the broad spectrum of when was all of God's people united together in unity, when is the last time that you and your family were united together in unity in your purpose that God has put forth in your life? Now that's a good question. I believe that's a question that we can obtain an answer to if we think about it and we pray about it. The early church had unity, one together with another. I want you to see that they were a family of God. You see, being united together in unity means that we really are a family. Do you really think of your church as a family? I hope you do. Listen, I need another family outside of the family I've got at home. Yeah. Some of you all will get that. The kids will tell my wife about it. She's downstairs with the kids today, so I get to lay on the jokes a little heavier than normal. It's good to have a family inside of your church. Amen? It's good to have a church family. People that you call your brothers and sisters in Christ and mean it more than just being brothers and sisters in Christ, truly being family. You see, the disciples in the early church, they taught this idea, they taught this concept of being united together as a family. And truly in the early church, we see in Acts 2, if we would have went back and read those scriptures about the day of Pentecost, we would see there how that literally when the day of Pentecost came, that in the days that followed, the church grew in such a way that the people came to each other's houses and studied the Word of God, and they came to each other's houses and they worshiped God, and they came to each other's houses and they broke bread together, and they met the needs of each other just as a family would do. You see, church, I believe as we move forward into the next year, is we ought to begin to look about as a church unifying together in such a way that we think of the church as a family. And that's truly why we ought to look at the church of God. Not just as brothers and sisters in Christ, but truly as a family of God. I believe as much as we're also a family, I believe we should also look at the unity of the church as being a friendship and a fellowship amongst believers. You know, I can truly say that I have friends in my church. I can truly say with all my heart, as we're a family, that we also have a friendship. We have a fellowship together. You see, because we share something in common that some of the rest of the world can't say that they have in common with us. You see, we can say that we have a fellowship in Christ Jesus. That we know Christ Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. That we're of the redeemed, that we're of the saved, that we're of the blessed. That Christ has redeemed us because we believe and trust in Him. We're not just a family, but we have a friendship and a fellowship together one with the other. You know, as we move forward into the next year, just as you rely on your family at home to supply you for your love, your needs, your emotional desires, we ought to lean more on our church family to help supply those same emotional needs. We ought to rely more on our church family and truly call them our friends. You know, it seems like in the world today, we have our friends' friends, and then we have our church friends. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Some of you all have friends' friends, and then some of you all have church friends. You know, that group of friends' friends is the ones you go out and you do stuff with that you wouldn't go do stuff with your church friends, right? Nobody will own up to that, okay? You know it's true. It's just truth. It's just reality. I mean, that's the way that people are today. Well, this year, I want you to begin to look at the family of God unifying together truly as a family, but also as a friendship because of the fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. But even more than all of that, I want you to see that we're unified together as a family and as friends because we're followers in a purpose. Notice that. We're followers in a purpose. You see, we were called for a very specific purpose. We were called so that, well, let me say that. Let me say this before I say that. I read an interesting study in preparing for this message. And basically, a question was proposed to about 1,000 different congregations nationwide. And they asked, what is it that you feel is the purpose of the church? 89% of 1,000 congregations asked across the nation said that the purpose of the church was for a place of believers to come and fellowship together. They also said that the number one purpose and the role of the pastor was to meet the needs of the families. That was what 89% of the churches said was the purpose of the church and the purpose of the pastor. Only 11% of 1,000 churches polled nationwide said that the purpose of the church was to see lost people saved. I want to tell you something. We're unified in the wrong mindset. We're unified in this mindset that the church is this social club. We're unified in this mindset that the church is here for meeting the needs of self and meeting the needs of I, when in reality the church has a purpose of coming together to reach a lost and a dying world for Christ Jesus, that they would be saved. Now that's our real purpose. And you see, we unite together as a family and as friends in a fellowship because we're followers in a purpose. And that purpose is Christ Jesus' purpose. You see, Christ says, I come to this world to seek and to save that which is lost. He summed up His purpose in one verse. You know, He says it so poignantly, I come to seek and to save the lost. You know, I didn't come to make a social group. I didn't come to make a country club setting. I didn't come to make you feel good. I didn't come to make a place where you could just come and sit and listen to preaching that makes you feel good all the time. That's not what the purpose of the church is about. You see, the purpose of the church is about making disciples to go forward to see people saved. That's the purpose of the church. The second thing that I want you to see about the verses that we've read this morning is not just the fact that we are called to have unity in the church of God, but I want you to see that in the early church of God, they truly experienced God's power. You see, Christ said to His disciples before He ascended into heaven, He says, I'll give you all power as it's been given unto Me. He says, I'll give you the power that you need to go forward to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, all power that's given unto Me, I'll grant unto you that you can fulfill this great purpose that I set forth for you. I read a wonderful quote about purpose in the church, and it says this, purpose is power. Purpose is power. That's the truth. You see, if we look at what our purpose really is, it'll give us the power, it'll give us the motivation, it'll give us the inspiration, it'll give us the emotion to move forward. And I want to tell you something. Our purpose ought to be Christ's purpose, to see lost people saved. More than anything, what I want to see in the next year is more people coming to the saving grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. If we don't gain another person by membership, my greatest prayer is that we fulfill God's purpose in seeing people saved. You see, purpose is power. In the early church, they experienced and they embraced God's power. Look at what it says in verse 33. And it says, with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. When is the last time you shared with somebody Christ Jesus? When is the last time you shared with somebody about your personal faith in Jesus? When was the last time that you expressed with somebody how that they could be saved, led somebody to the Lord? You know, for many Christians, they've never experienced the blessing of getting to show somebody through God's Word what they need to do to be saved. Many Christians have never experienced the true blessing of getting to share with somebody why they need to be saved. I want to tell you something. It is a blessing that is hard to describe when you get the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. Most people don't do it because they're afraid. You know, they say, I'm too afraid. What will I do if they reject me? What will I do if they laugh at me or make fun of me or tell me that I'm stupid or silly or that I'm just a bigot? What will I do if they don't want to be receptive to what I have to say? Some of us just don't handle rejection very well, right? We just don't. We're afraid of what it's going to be like if somebody rejects us as we share with them Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes we don't share because we don't feel like we can. You know, I don't know the Word well enough. I don't know God's Word enough. I'm not strong enough in my faith to share God. Sometimes we get hampered in our ability to share the Word of God because of the things that we outwardly do. Has anybody ever felt hypocritical in sharing their faith in Christ because of the way that they acted around certain people? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like the people that you work with. You see, we're all different people at different times. You are who you are at work. You are who you are at home. You are who you are at church. You are who you are amongst your friends' friends. Amongst your church friends. How sad is it that we would be fearful to witness Christ Jesus and what He's done for us because of the things we say and we do in our everyday life? Purpose really is power. They experienced and they embraced God's power. And it says that they took with great power their abilities to share their testimony and to share about the resurrection of Christ Jesus. That power was evident in the early church. You see, after the day of Pentecost, there were thousands of souls added unto the church. Here in Acts chapter 4, just in the preachings of Peter and John in this local area, there were 5,000 men who in the early part of Acts chapter 4, there were 5,000 men who came and accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. Just in the early part of this chapter alone. Just in a matter of a few chapters, tens of thousands of people coming and giving their life to Christ. That is the power of the God you and I proclaim to serve. Do you hear me? We serve a God who says, I'll give you all power to do what you need to do to share my purpose. And if we trust in that power and we take that power and we move forward and share the testimony of what God has done for us and share about the resurrection of Christ, what He came to do to save us from our sin and unrighteousness. I believe if we entrust in that power, we can see the evidence of that power. But you got to believe it. Do you believe it? You see, I believe with all of my heart that if we embrace the power of God, we can do great things If we embrace the power of God, we can fulfill His purpose that He has for us. You see, when we embrace the power of God, we'll not just see the evidence by growth, but I believe that we'll also be able to withstand attack. You see, here in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are being questioned about their preachings. As a matter of fact, they're being brought forward to a council of the Jews, notice the Sanhedrin court. And they're being questioned because of their proclaiming and their preaching of the gospel of Christ Jesus. And here in this example, they stand the test because of the great power that God has given them to overcome. Church, I'm telling you, in the next year, if God continues to do great things, there'll be attack. We'll see Satan do everything that he can to stammer and to stunt growth. I promise you that. In the 3 years that I've been here, I've seen it happen more than once, how that things begin to progress and God begins to do mighty things, and then we see ugly things begin to happen. I believe that if we embrace the power of God, we'll be able to withstand those attacks. But not only that, I believe if we truly embrace the power of God, that we'll have the strength to overcome. We'll have the strength to overcome. Not just resist, but to be conquerors. You see, that's what the power of God does. The power of God allows us to become overcomers. Not just to hang on, not just to fight through, but through Christ Jesus and the power that He gives, we have the ability to be overcomers, true fighters. You see, in the early church, we saw that they had unity. We see that they experienced God's power, but I also want you to see and know that they discovered God's favor. How great is it that if we as God's people, as God's people here in this church, if we could truly have God's favor shine down upon us. Imagine the things that God could do. Imagine the things that He could unleash here if we would just make the decision. Make the decision that we're going to follow in His purpose. If we choose to follow in God's purpose, we will discover His favor. The apostles discovered His favor. They saw the good things that God did. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it says, and great grace was upon them all. And great grace was upon them all. This is one of the few examples in all of the Word of God where we see those two words combined together. Great grace. So often you see that word grace. It's mentioned a lot in the Word of God. But this is one of the few times where it's said that they found God's favor and they had great grace. I don't just want God's grace. If I've got a choice, if we've got an option to choose, I want great grace. Amen? I don't just want God's power. I don't just want God's goodness. I want it abundantly. And it says that if we trust in God, that He'll give us not just grace, but He'll give us abundant grace. And that's what we saw in the early church. They experienced God's favor. You see, Christ prayed for His disciples in John 17, the verses that we read. He prayed for His disciples because He knew that they were going to be scattered. He knew that they would splinter. He knew that they would argue amongst each other. And He prayed for them that they would unify themselves together in one heart, in one mind, for that one great purpose. And He prayed for them. And God had favor on them. You know, that same prayer that Christ prayed all of those thousands of years ago as He was preparing for the end of His life, the end of His ministry, I believe with all of my heart that prayer was meant as much for us as it was for them. I believe that God is praying His favor upon us. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to be great overcomers. God wants us to have unity. He wants us to embrace His power. I don't just want grace. I want great grace. The final thing that I want you to see this morning It's not just the fact that there was unity in the church. It wasn't just that they experienced God's power. It wasn't just the fact that God had favor on them. But truly, the answers of Christ, the answers of Christ's prayer came true. The answers of Christ's prayer came true. I want to look there in John 17 just one more time, verses 20 and 21. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He was literally praying for the disciples that they would come together, but he was also praying for all of those who would believe in him. You know, that tells me that Christ was praying that prayer not just for his disciples then, but he was praying for all of those who would come forward and believe in him and confess him with their mouths. He says in verse 21, he says that they may be all one, just as you, Father in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, our purpose, Christ in his prayer for the disciples, for us who believe in him, is that we would come and be unified together as one, so that the world might believe on Christ Jesus and who that he is. That's our purpose. That's what we're here for. And this next year, I want to meet that purpose. I want to move forward in fulfilling that purpose. I want to see God's great grace and his power, and I want to see it happening through the unity of God's people. He said in verse 23, he says, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one. Perfectly one. How difficult is it to come together and agree on things? Very difficult, right? Let's just be honest. It is very difficult for human people to agree on anything. I'll give you an example. Diane, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Peanut butter chip.
Peanut butter chip. Let's make this a little more simple. All right. Vanilla, strawberry, or chocolate? Okay, chocolate. Andre, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? Vanilla, strawberry, or chocolate? Okay. Diana, what's your favorite flavor?
Vanilla.
See, I knew it wouldn't take long. And we'd find somebody who had to mess it up for everybody else that liked chocolate. There's always a vanilla person in the world, right? In the world of chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla, there's always, always a vanilla person. Of the three, I kind of favor strawberry myself. So, everybody's a little different. It's hard for people to agree on things. It's hard for people to come together and agree on things. That's why the nation that we live in today is as polarized politically as it's probably ever been before. Because it's just so difficult for us as people to agree on things. But here, Christ's prayer for us and the disciples is that we would be in them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one. You see, Christ believed that it was possible for us to become perfectly one. I don't know about you, but that's a lofty goal to obtain, amen? But in the year 2019, as we move forward as a church, I want us to strive to love in one another because we love in Christ, that we might strive to be perfectly one. So that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them even as you loved me. The prayer of Christ at the end of his life was that the world may know that you sent me, but that you love me and that you love them as you love me. You see, God sent His only Son, the only one that He had, the one who was with Him from the very beginning. I don't know if it's even possible to put into words how much that God loved His Son. But the Lord says, I want the world to know that You love them as much as You love Me. The Lord loved us so much that He was willing to give of Himself freely, that if we would trust and believe in Him, that we might go free. God loved us so much that He was willing to give His Son, that His Son, who was perfect, could come and die on the cross, literally becoming all the sin of the world. Christ on the cross literally became all of the sin of the world. One who is perfect, one who knew no sin. God, who loved His Son so much, loved us so much that He would give of Himself through His Son, that if we believe in Him, we might go free. That we would be perfectly one, so that the world may know Him, that the world may know Your love, how much You've loved me, how much He loves us. That's how much that God loves you. God loves you so much that He gave of Himself freely, that if you trust in Him, you might go free. As our praise and worship team comes, as we close out this year, the last Sunday morning worship of 2018, I can think of no better way to end out this time of worship than if you are here and you've never accepted Christ, if you've never entrusted Him, if you've never confessed all of your sins before Him, given your heart and your life to Him. Today, would you not entrust in Him and give your life to Him that He might set you free? Maybe you're here today as a Christian. I can think of no better way to end out this year than right here. Here at the altar. There's something special about coming and humbling yourself before God and praying before Him. You can pray anywhere. You can pray in your pew. You can pray in your car. You can pray at home. You can pray at work. But I want to tell you, there's nothing any more special than humbling your heart before God and coming to the altar and crying out to Him. If you're here and you're a believer and you're a member, would you not maybe come and pray that we as a church body would be unified together perfectly as one? I love you all, but it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of prayers to get to that point of being unified perfectly as one. Maybe you want to come and pray for that. Maybe God is working on your heart and you know somebody who's lost and you want to come pray for them. Maybe you want to pray that God give you the strength to make you a better witness, a better servant. Maybe there's things in your life that you need to remove from your life. This is your time. This is your opportunity. You come. Father, Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, as we come to a time of response, Lord, I pray that the hearts of Your people are stirred. Lord, I pray that the hearts of Your people will move. Lord, I pray earnestly today that if there is somebody here who has never known You, never trusted in You, never given their heart to You, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't be focused upon anything that was going to happen after this service. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't be focused on what will somebody think or say. Lord, I pray that right now they'd come, they'd give their heart and their life to You, and they'd be saved. Lord, I pray that as a church body, Lord, that we as Your people would come to this altar, Lord, and we would pray for one great purpose: to witness and to share You before a lost and a dying world. Lord, maybe there's Christian people here today, Lord, who just need Your strength and Your guidance, Lord. Maybe they just need confession. Lord, I pray that they come. Lord, we ask that Your Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct in every way. It's in Your name we ask it. Amen.